That's right. The drive is live. It's game day. And just to keep you updated, the Texans pregame show will take over. It will take over. We'll be out of here at 4:15. So
let's get it on, baby.
So we got a few hours to really pack it in and get you ready for the pregame show and get you ready for this game coming up tonight. So a big one tonight here as the Texans try to get to 7-2. 6-2 right now, try to get to 7-2 in New York. And as the fellas were saying, you kind of gave it away a little bit. As the fellas were saying, Clint, I've seen from 2.5 to 1.5. They are definitely underdogs on the road to the New York Jets, which I think I hear some people saying, what is that about? What is that about? Like J-Lo is saying, what is that about?
And they say, no.
Nobody was more pissed off about this than J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt was on Pat McAfee, and he looked like he was itching to talk about, what the hell?
Come on, J.J.
How the hell are the Texans underdogs to the sorry-ass Jets?
Let's talk about your Houston Texans. Big game tomorrow night against the New York Jets to kick off week 9 of the NFL season. You guys are underdogs, I do believe. In New York, Aaron Rodgers and the Jets.
You gotta be sh**.
What?
Are you kidding me?
Brother.
You gotta be kidding me.
Brother.
This is, hell does Vegas know that I don't?
This is what they know. This is what they know. Prime time?
He's back.
Prime time?
Is he gonna be on the Jumbotron?
Didn't see that coming. Could be wrong, but I don't think I am. If I just look at these two squads truthfully right now, obviously I'm slightly biased, but I believe Houston Texans are the better team.
All right, there is JJ, slightly biased. He believes the Texans are the better team. And I think most people believe the Texans are the better team. But that's not always how Vegas works. And I would throw it out to both of you. I know how Tyler feels. You think it's disrespectful to the Texans that they are 2.5-point underdogs? Is that what you got, Tyler? Is that the last thing you saw?
Yes. I believe, at least with my book, it's been holding strong at 2.5.
2.5. You think it's disrespectful? You think it's disrespectful to the Texans of Vegas to make them 2.5-point underdogs to the Jets?
I do not.
You don't think so?
I do not, no. I mean, I Vegas is really into, like, advanced stats.
That's
and all
good.
This kind of stuff.
Whenever you see something like this, it's like, what do they know?
Yeah. I think they know what a ton of people, especially nationally, aren't willing to look at and watch and take into consideration, in my opinion. I don't think it's disrespectful. It is a little bit of a surprise to me that it's like, I figured that the Texans would have been favored by 1 or 2. But I can definitely understand how they got there.
Yeah. I want to get that a little bit from you, how they got there. Tyler, you pissed? That pisses you off?
No.
That smokes you. You think it's disrespectful?
No, I'm saying I didn't find it necessarily like disrespectful.
Oh, so
But the eyebrows raised. I think the line is very curious, and I'd like to think the Texans are going to win this game and they wouldn't need any points. But, no, I didn't think it was disrespectful, but I think the line is very interesting, very curious.
Well, you two know lines better than I do. And I'll say it.
Betting lines.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I don't – no, you may – y'all may know those other lines better than I do. I've never done it. But listen, I'll say it.
Hurt my nose.
Hell yeah, it's disrespectful. I think it's disrespectful as hell. This is the Houston Texans, who are currently the number 2 seed in the AFC, that's 6-2. The Jets are 2-6 in the 15 seed. There's only 16 teams in the AFC. Only the Titans are below the Jets.
First week without Diggs, though.
Only the Titans are below, again, the Jets when it comes to this. Hell yeah, it's disrespectful that they would have them, I don't care where it's being played, as underdogs. Now, is it wrong? That's a different question. That's a different question. But yes, I think the 2 seed playing the 15 seed in the conference through 8 weeks. It is disrespectful to have him an underdog. Do I understand it? Does it make sense? Yes, it makes sense. Yes, because the reasons that Clint is about to roll through, you can understand. I can understand how they get there. But if you just look at it, damn that. I don't know. I don't know who the two seed is right now in the NFC, but if they played the second worst team in the NFC, I don't think they would be. I don't think they would be underdogs. But to the point you've made there, Clint, I can clearly see what Vegas is thinking and what they're looking at in terms of the matchup. I'll be honest, especially with the Texans' injuries, the matchups here, when you think about the Jets' defensive line versus their offensive line, when you think about the Jets' secondary versus the receivers that the Texans are rolling out there, I think you could get an understanding why Vegas sees this thing being as close as it potentially is and lean towards the Jets at home.
Yeah, I mean, look, you can look at the matchups and you can get to an even playing field pretty quick. Now whether the Jets show up and they play to their ability, if they play at or above their ceiling is another question. Now they may very well quit on the interim head coach, and they may very well quit on each other. I don't know about that, but the reality of it is you can look at Quinnen Williams versus Juice Scruggs and Kenyon Green. You can look at McDonald the fourth. I can't remember his damn first name.
Will.
Will McDonald the fourth. I mean, this is a guy that I think he's second or third in the league in sacks right now. He's got more sacks than Will Anderson does. And you can look at him versus this entire offensive line, who I know on paper, boy, people don't want to talk about it now. People don't want to talk about it. They want to talk about, well, their pass protection has been rough. You know, especially that interior offensive line. No, it's been rough all the way across the board. Them two high-paid tackles, they've been rough too. And you got a dude that's in the tops in the league in sacks coming to town. And so you don't have to just stop at Kenyon Green. Let's be honest and be real and look across the board. And I think Vegas does it. I think Vegas looks at the hit rate, the knockdown rate, the quarterback rate, quarterback sack rate of the Texans and says, yeah, the Jets, this is not a good matchup for the Texans. And then you mentioned the wide receivers. The Texans are down their top two wide receivers. Their third and fourth third and fourth options in this pass game, Tank Dell and Dalton Schultz, have left a lot to be desired this year. And guess what? The Jets got a pretty damn good secondary. And so you look at matchups
combined with their pass rush.
Yeah, you look at matchups across the board, I think it's pretty easy to get to. An even game, an even playing field, even though it's in New York. So I don't call it like. Look, here's the thing about the disrespectful part of it is like it's just reality. This team has not played well enough to be a 10-point favorite over somebody.
It's that simple.
A touchdown favorite over somebody. You would think, like to your point, you would think that the second best team in the AFC facing the 15th best team in the AFC
on the road. I would think around 4.5, 5.
Yeah, so a touchdown swing.
Yeah.
I mean, so you think it's a touchdown off, right? Like, which I agree wholeheartedly with you. I'm not saying you're wrong.
Who's the two seed in the NFC? That's got to be like, let's see, if the Lions are the one seed. Washington. So Washington versus the Giants.
Just happened.
What's happening this weekend? They're a 4-point favorite on the road. The Giants and Washington, they're playing this weekend. They're a 4-point favorite on the road, Washington is.
And I would say, I have not watched a ton of Washington, but I would say that Washington's played significantly better than the Texans, particularly on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
But yeah, look, I think it is, I love it. I absolutely love it because I know the organization will tell you they don't hear it, they don't care, but they hear it and they care. And this is reality, and this is a product of the way that they've played, again, particularly on the offensive side of the football, because the defense has been good. But it's the reality of the situation right now. You're 6-2, you're sitting pretty, but you're not real far from 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15th best team in the AFC.
Texans from the text line, 713-572-4610 from the 5-Hour Energy fan text line. Y'all are talking like the Texans defense can't make it rough, make it a rough night for Aaron as well, who hasn't been A-Rod of late. No, I think the Texans pass rusher will definitely make it give them problems. I don't think the Jets are better or they're going to blow them out. I don't think that the Jets offense are about to put up 30. I don't think, but there are matchups there too, right? There are matchups there that you could see why Vegas and can look at things where they're like, I wonder how that works. This is the third week of them having Devontae Adams and Garrett Wilson playing together with Aaron. We'll see what that looks like. Listen, I would pick. I'll say this. I think the Texans are clearly the better team, especially when healthy. I do think that matchups matter here. For instance, you may disagree. I'm not saying they would beat them. I think the Texans match up really well against the Chiefs. When you think about what the Chiefs struggle with at tackles, and when you think about you know some of the other things the Chiefs struggle with, which is some of their like corners outside of McDuffie, I think that is a recipe for the things when healthy that the Texans do really well. I think the Chiefs are an easier matchup for a team like the Texans than like the Ravens, right? Like I think styles make fights. I think this Jets, what the Jets can do well, especially with an injured Texans team, but what the Jets can do well, I think can give the Texans potential problems. Potential, because we've seen other teams be able to hold the Texans down when they've had Steph Diggs, Nico Collins, all of them, right, to hold them down. And that, to me, is just where that rolls through. People rolling here, they're on the text line is, reality is the right word. The offense has not dominated no matter who is on the roster. Our offense is not good, but our defense is excellent. Agree with that. I agree. I wouldn't say the offense is not good. I think the offense has struggled and not played up to where they
the offense has struggled mightily, and Vegas is going to look at every advanced stat and take everything into consideration. And the reality of it is, we want to talk about Kenyon Green around here, and in reality, ain't none of them been worth a damn. If we're being completely honest, and Quinnen Williams and Will McDonald IV and what they bring to the table in their defensive front, I don't know. Be honest with you, I don't know that the Texans have seen a defense with this high of a ceiling. I know they hadn't seen one higher, but maybe, you know, and I'm not saying they played great. I'm just saying this high, these guys could come in here and be a top five defense. I know they've seen some pretty good defenses this year. I think what Minnesota's is pretty good. Chicago's is pretty good. Who's that? Who else? What other defense have they seen this year?
Green Bay's is pretty good.
But this defense could, on any given Sunday, show up and be just as good, if not better.
That's the thing, is they are, what did my man say, Damian Woody? The Jets are a roster. They ain't no team. They are a roster of players that come together. And to the point you're making is, if they feel right, they've got a talented group of dudes that can step in, but usually they don't play to that level. So a lot to get to as we continue here on the drive to get you ready for the Texans and the Jets. I do want to get to potential advantages I think the Texans do have in this game. But I do want to express this real quick. Happy Halloween to everybody. Tyler, don't eat too much candy. Clint, don't eat too much candy. I know you've been working well.
I got a sweet tooth.
Not a big candy guy, especially when I'm dialed in. I'm dialed in right now.
You're dialed in.
I'm dialed in right now.
I'm going to tell you this. I've made the decision, and Courtney has agreed, we are no longer giving out candy.
What?
We're done.
It's a foundation of Halloween.
We're turning the light off, and we're no longer giving out candy.
We're going the opposite of Motel 6.
Well, yeah. No, we're not. No, listen, we still have young kids. Like Clint will be out there motoring around with his young kids, dressed Lainey warm. But we set up our bowl at the house.
Yeah.
And if you remember the last 2 years.
We do not, but go ahead.
The last 2 years, Courtney's childhood trick-or-treat bucket was stolen. We could see him on the Ring camera last year. They within 15 minutes, two kids dumped the whole candy thing in, and then the thing that really pissed me off just threw my bowl in the grass. So we walked up, seen it in the grass. That's 2 years for me. I'm done.
I don't blame you.
I'm done. It's not that I don't want to give it to the kids until like our kids are old enough where they can go out and we trust and they go out and we're chilling at the house, we're passing out candy. Then maybe if I'm at the house, I'll do it. But no more. I'm done.
Done with them punk ass kids.
A couple of bad apples have ruined it.
I think you should put a sign in the yard this year.
A sign saying why?
Leave your lights on, put a sign in the front door and say, hey, we are really good people here. You can thank the sorry POSs that are running around here amongst all you nice good kiddos that steal candy and steal buckets for the reason that this house is not giving out candy.
That's it. Yeah, I like that. A good stern sign shows it.
Hey, I wish you'd have got them on camera. You could post their picture on there. Hey, if you guys are looking for candy this year, ask these two jacklegs. They took it all last year.
Yes.
They should have plenty left over.
You just can't make out who these kids are on that Ring camera. I want too bad.
That's the equivalent of putting your name in the raffle multiple times.
It's the bowl that was strung out
tossed.
Strung out in the middle of my grass, which I had to go back around over them bushes to go get. That's the one that pissed me off, and I know it pissed Courtney off. They took her childhood. That one.
You know, if Courtney's agreed to it at this point, something touched her.
That one done her in. That one done her in. Yeah, no, I'm done, man. I'm done. So, good luck. Hopefully, you all aren't doing it. That is, someone text in, you're dumb as hell to leave a bowl of candy outside around these badass kids. Hello, that's your fault. Okay, I've cleaned it up. As George Bush said,
you learn the hard way.
You get me once.
Fool me once.
And you get it. I'll just say you ain't going to fool me a second time. All right? I tried to be nice. I wanted the kids to have it. And then I'm like, nah, man.
Now watch this draft.
We out. All right, coming up, Texans-Jets tonight. There are some potential issues for the Texans in this game against the Jets, but there are some advantages they have. What for you are those advantages? What is the biggest advantage you think the Texans have tonight against the Jets? We'll discuss that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Happy Halloween to you good folks out there. We appreciate you joining us here on The Drive. As it is game day, the Texans are going to look to try to get to 7-2 against the New York Jets on the road. And look, the Texans have some injury issues and some offensive line issues, but they are 7-2. And the Jets, as we did say, have the second worst record in the AFC.
When I came out of the darkness.
Yes, that one. They have struggled big time this season. And there are some spots there, Clint. There are some spots in which the Texans do have an advantage, some advantages. And I see some people texting in, as we said, what are the things that can really help and the Texans can do to take advantage of for them to find themselves getting their seventh W. If you had to look at a couple of the things, Clint, for you that stand out to you were tonight, listen, the Texans actually have an advantage in this game that you think that they can, if they win the game, what they can take advantage of.
Yeah, I think for me it starts with the defensive ends for the Houston Texans. Clearly, I love Breece Hall, and you can argue that they ought to feature him a little bit more. But at the end of the day, they're bringing in Davante Adams. They got Garrett Wilson. They bring in Aaron Rodgers and pay him a bunch of money. There's no doubt about it that this football team is going to go as Aaron Rodgers goes, and I think this year the Texans team has gone as this defense goes. And I believe you got to start. If you're talking about mismatches, if you're talking about advantages, I think you got to look at the Texans' ability to pressure Aaron Rodgers. And if you can get there and not let him get comfortable with Garrett Wilson and Devontae Adams, I think he's going to get you. I think those guys are all just too good. At some point in time, they're going to get you. But if you can keep him off rhythm, if you can find a way to even bang him up a little bit, because he's been banged up two different times this year, maybe even three times this year, then you can really get him off of his game. So I think advantage number one for the Houston Texans is the pass rush and more specifically these two defensive ends versus their tackles.
Yeah, they can't just block them straight up. Like they're going to have to do some things. They're going to have to get some help. And because I don't think their tackles are going to be able to handle what Will and what even Barnett when he comes in, but Will and Danielle Hunter, the way those two are playing, especially. Hopefully this is a game where Denico Autry jumps in as well. I know you feel like this here, and this is a big place that the Texans need to do, and the Jets have not stopped the run well at all this year, especially here of late, especially since Robert Saleh was fired. The Jets have not stopped the run well. Joe Mixon, when he's been in the game, he rushes for 100 yards, unless he gets hurt against the Bears. That's flatly what it's been. This is a game where Joe Mixon, based off what the Jets' run defense have done over the past several weeks, this is a game in which Joe Mixon should be able to eat. Joe
Mixon bad MF-er.
Should be able to, what is it, Tyler, be his fourth straight 100-yard game if he were able to do that?
Yes, which I believe would be the first time in Texan team history.
This really?
Or tied, maybe.
More to your preseason point. That would help more to your preseason. Your preseason point. I still don't agree with you yet.
That's fine.
On that, Arian Foster. But
clearly, no, not many do.
But that's another place where, hey, the Texans, that's a place they can take advantage of. And if they win tonight, that I would be shocked if it doesn't say Joe Mixon had a big night.
Yeah, look, I agree. Defensively, the ends got to get home. The pass rush has to get home and constantly get home. And then offensively, you got to run the football. Whether you look at the matchup that Ron just talked about, or you look at the fact that your quarterback's been sacked and knocked down more than 28 other or 27 other quarterbacks in the NFL, and the strength of this team or the weakness of this defensive team is stopping the run so far anyway. So it only makes sense to feature Joe Mixon more right now. Nico out, Steph Diggs out, Tank Dell, Dalton Schultz. Rough, slow start to the year. Let's put it nicely. It is game day. So yeah, I mean, you've got more guys. There is no reason. Even though I don't think there was a reason last week, but there is no reason this week not to feature the hell out of Joe Mixon, and which will protect your quarterback, which you would think would protect Kenyon Green a bit, your weak spot on your offensive line. So I think it's in all parties' interest, all Texans' party interest, to run the football and feature Joe Mixon. So I agree with you. There's a bit of an advantage there.
For me, Clint, I think the number one advantage, that the Texans have in this game to me is just the culture and toughness walking into the game.
Okay.
I think the Jets are, as I said, Damian Woody said, they are a roster and not a team. They are a team that can absolutely fall apart if things don't go well early. Something bad happens. They're a team that just starts looking around. They don't play for each other. They don't play Aaron. They are a team that is a shut it down team. They're 2-6.
You're gonna get hit hard if you play against us.
I'm telling you, and you're gonna get hit hard if you play against the Texans. And the Texans, the culture that D'Amico and company have built, the toughness that they've built, the way that they are comfortable right now playing in tight games and make the and you can clearly see against teams that are better coached and have better cultures than the Jets that they take advantage of. That to me is the biggest issue. The Texans walk into the game like playing for each other, loving to play with each other, or a team that have a mission and a mission that involves something together and that they are able to fight through injuries and things like that, where the Jets can be completely healthy and they're teetering. They're on the edge of just completely falling apart in any part of the game. And I think that's the biggest advantage the Texans have is their culture and toughness.
Well, Ron, I think you don't have to look any further than after Devontae Adams' first game with the Jets. I mean, he calls the team up afterwards, which many had a problem with a guy like that first game back. I don't personally, but, you know, and his message was, we got guys out here with 60-yard runs, and nobody cheers, nobody cares, nobody supports him, nobody, there's no energy, there's no juice from it.
And he came from the Raiders.
Right, right. And that's the exact, where I'm going with that is if you flip the side of the field, that is exactly one of the things that drives the Houston Texans is like you talked about, just the love and joy and support and energy and juice that the entire sideline provides to those that are on the field. That is a real advantage. It's a tangible advantage and it's real.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing tonight is unless something happens, I will never believe the Texans are out of the game. Yeah. I think you'll be able to see, you could see self-destruction with the Jets potentially coming. All right, some big news from one of the cornerstones of this team. We'll let you know the latest with that. And somebody just texted in, hey, did I miss y'all's Mad Dog picks for this week? No, baby, that's coming up next. As we are out early at 4:15, Mad Dog picks and some big news for one of the young cornerstones on this team. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, it's game day. As I said, we are out a little bit early. As the fellas will take over with the pregame show, as the Texans look to get to 7-0 or 7-2, excuse me, on the season. Someone texted in and said they saw me this Friday in valet, in line at a valet. Said they were going to come and say,
"You pay for valet?"
Well, I didn't that day. It was complimentary with the restaurant that we went to. It was a Saturday, but I would.
That's perfect.
Did you tip him on the way out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you had to think about that. You paid for it.
I did. But I tipped him. But he said he was too high to come up and say he listened.
Too high?
You're not too high, man. You could have come on up.
Must not come be a regular user.
I mean, you're so high, that had to be Friday. I mean, that had to be Saturday, not Friday. That's how high you
were. You don't remember what day it was.
It had to be Saturday, because Friday I didn't go nowhere.
It's sticky, icky, icky.
Friday I was chilling. Saturday night, mom was in town, and a little built-in babysitter.
Took advantage of it, didn't you?
Out in Montrose. So, yeah. So, shout out. Yeah, you're out there. Even if you're a little touched, come on up.
Is that my boy, Ron?
Say what's up. Say hello. Shout out to my man, Cody, today at Juice Well. Said he came up to this. Hey, Ron? Hey, how you doing? Guessing the blonde hair maybe tipped him off, Ron.
That is correct.
We appreciate you, Big Cody. Cody's fired up about tonight's game. He talked to me about it. He said, "What do you think, Cody?" Cody looked like he had a tinge of nervousness in his eyes.
I'll be a little anxious.
Yeah, he's a little nervous about this game.
Makes us all nervous.
But one thing that he shouldn't be nervous about, and nobody should be nervous about, and we knew he had been playing well and had the huge game against the Patriots, but your defensive player of the month is none other than the reigning defensive rookie of the year, Will Anderson Jr. He wins defensive player of the month. I remember last year, Derek Stingley Jr. won that award towards the end of the year. But Will Anderson Jr. is the defensive player of the month. And he has been really, really good here in the month of October. And Clint, he's got 7.5 sacks, which matches his full season last year. Remember last year, Will got off to a slow start. I mean, we're sitting there with like one sack or so within the first like 8 or 9 weeks. This year, you can see virtually in almost every game, Clint, he has done at least something. You know, not just setting the edge in the run game, but something in the pass game where he has affected something. He got Anthony Richardson on a chase down behind him and sacked him. He has been, as I said earlier this week, this team's best defensive player. And congratulations to Will Anderson Jr., defensive player of the month in the AFC.
Yeah, well, look, well deserved. I mean, you're talking about a guy that has put it out there, man. I mean, in the month of October, you're talking about a guy that had 5 sacks. And within that had, I mean, a ton of plays that are just your defensive ends, your everyday defensive ends don't make. I mean, he's just all over the place. I mean, making plays again that jump off the screen that remind you of some of the elite edge rushers in this game. And he had a hell of a month. There's no doubt about it. And it's obviously headlined by a 3-sack day against the New England Patriots, which if you watch that game, he could have had 4 or 5 sacks in that game. So, yeah, man, big week by Will Anderson, big month by Will Anderson. And hopefully he keeps this thing rolling. He's on pace, 15, 16 sacks this year, man.
Yeah, like you said, a week is different than a month. Month is you're showing consistency throughout. There ain't no bye week in there. He's played all the games here, and we'll see what he does on the final day of the month tonight. They'll need Will Anderson to step up big time. By the way, Will Anderson was your Mad Dog pick last week.
Mm-hmm.
Had him a nice game. Kept you out of having to buy the Mad Dog. We're going to do it today. We usually do our Mad Dog Monday picks on Friday. By the way, can we get this understanding? Are we drinking Mad Dog tomorrow? Or are we drinking Mad Dog on Monday if the Texans win?
I feel like it should be tomorrow.
At Home Run Dugout? By the way, that's where we'll be tomorrow. Come hang out with us.
I don't know if we can carry
football
that in there.
Oh, hell.
Oh, that's a good point.
No, good point, my ass. We've drunk on the road.
No, I don't know if you can legally carry it. Like, I don't know if they'll let you carry alcohol in
outside
there.
Alcohol, outside alcohol, yeah, probably
alcohol
not.
Inside.
Again, as I said, we've celebrated Mad Dog Mondays at Little Woodrow's, I believe, and I know I brought in 2 bottles.
Oh, okay.
But to your point, maybe we should wait.
No, it's all right. Hell, let's do it, man. Legal, I'm game. Legal. I mean, all I can do is tell us to leave.
I remember we were sitting in the back of Little Woodrow's for an Astros game, and We tilted them back. Had a couple of them. I remember bringing them in my backpack.
Didn't even think about it, man. Ask for forgiveness, not permission, baby. Let's ride.
All right, Clint. To go down to it, you got a few more than anybody that can't. You cannot use. Well, damn it. As you said, you worked that Stephon Diggs thing pretty well. You got
Ron. You didn't get your money's worth out of Diggs before he went down.
Yeah, I was saving him. I was saving
Steph Diggs. That's the danger.
That's the danger. Yeah, anybody can get hurt. But you are out of Steph Diggs and Tank Dell. We have everybody available. Tyler, you lost last week. Who is your Mad Dog player pick this week?
Well, I'm going to take a fella for the second time, so I will not be able to select him any longer. Go with Tank Dell. Go with the Coug. Let's go, Tank. This is the week. I feel it down in my plums. Tank Dell is going to finally at least resemble what we saw last season during that rookie campaign. I'm going with Tank Dell, boys.
Hey, they need him. He got me a touchdown last week in the back of the end zone. But, yeah, they need more than, I believe, 4 for 35, even if that was a touchdown. He should get he should hopefully get some targets and be the guy out there. He does have Sauce Gardner potentially on him. Reed's not bad on the other side. Be interested to see if the Jets feel the need to travel Sauce Gardner with him. We'll see what happens there. But they damn sure need, especially tonight with the receivers they have out there, they damn sure need Tank to show up and not Nathaniel. Nathaniel keeps showing up every week. I'd like for Tank to get on out there.
That'd be nice.
Who's your Mad Dog pick this week?
Oh man,
I'm a sneaky one. So
I'm gonna go with Dalton Schultz. I mean, if Dalton Schultz is ever gonna have a breakout game, boy, if it's ever needed, it's this week. So I'm gonna ride with Dalton Schultz, the old tight end, and see if he can't show up a little bit and have him a day.
Dalton Schultz. So you got Dalton Schultz. You're going with Tank Dell. I got a sneaky one. Looking at the injuries, looking at the third down situation, and this player has made some big plays throughout the season. I'm gonna go with Dare Ogunbowale.
I'm trying to decide if I'm putting him in my fantasy lineup.
He makes it, man. He makes it so obvious.
Obliago
makes what so obvious? I like Dare in the backfield, coming out of the backfield.
I mean, you're talking about a guy that's probably gonna get 4 carries.
I mean,
you just picked a guy that's going to get 4 carries.
No, I did not pick a guy that's going to get 4 carries. Obliago. I think he's going to be involved in the passing game a lot. Go look at some of these games, especially when Pierce or Mixon have been out, how much he has been used and how critical he has been. He has picked up 4 third downs He's picked up what he picked up. A third.
You're not going to win Mad Dog Monday by picking up first downs, Ron.
I hate to break it.
I mean, he can go out there and have three third down runs or catches that are first downs, and you're not winning this.
I'm not. Okay, we'll see. Let's go look at some of Dalton Schultz lines. All right,
I bet but I said Dalton Schultz has got to have a monster game. You're talking about a backup running back. Did he have a carry last week?
I'm talking about this is a different week. All right, this is a different week.
You're right.
This is a different week.
Old bad groin Pierce is out.
He had another back in front of him. No,
he makes it obvious. Tyler.
He ain't making nothing obvious.
Oldly,
this is the I don't feel good about the matchup.
So I'm a burn one.
Off. No, burn one. That's right. That's exactly what it is.
I could burn one off. I could have said Cade Stover.
You remember the DeNico Autry pick against Green Bay?
Mm-hmm.
I did not pick DeNico Autry against Green Bay.
You sure?
Did I?
I mean, there's only been, you didn't pick him last week, so it's only been back 2 weeks.
I feel good about it. That was going to be a defensive game. I love Daré, baby. Put me down. I bet you. Mark it. Daré has a big game. Maybe not a big game, but a, but a game.
Medium-sized game.
You won't look at me thinking, oh, boy, he's crazy. I'm telling you, third downs. Watch. Third downs. Them dump-offs. Who he's going to be going to. He's going to have pressure. Damn, he's dumping them off. I love it. I love that pick, damn it. Makes it so
Obliago.
I love it. All right, coming up, we got to look at a place where this part of the field, the Texans, damn sure need them to step up. They need big, big play out of this part of the field if they are going to get their seventh win tonight in New York. We'll discuss that coming up next.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.